gather up your meeples. It's time for the Boarding Party Podcast, brought to you by the Superiority Complex. Hey everyone, welcome to the Boarding Party, your favorite podcast about board games. I'm here, Jake is here, Patrick's here. There's no Justine today, but we're going to talk about games. That's what we're going to talk about. And on the board today, special guest, Renee, have you done an episode of the Boarding Party
this
yet?
This will be my first.
Renee, this is our friend Renee who welcome. Runs the boards yes. for the Superiority Complex. He's also a member of our board game group, although kind of infrequently because he works a lot. But it'll be interesting to get your perspective today, Renee, on some mm-hmm. games. Mm-hmm. We don't have a topic for today. We're going to do a short episode like we did last week. And we're going to just review a few games that we've played, some together, some separate. Let's talk about a game that we brought up as a filler game, first of all.
It's supposed to be filler.
It's supposed to be a filler game. It's a game called Control, named after the Janet Jackson song, of course.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about this last episode on the Boarding Party where Control is a fantastic filler game, and you know, in all actuality, it actually is. But disclaimer, I do have to apologize. Apparently, it can go longer than 20 minutes.
Oh my god,
it can.
much longer.
Last week, we played at game night because Mario hadn't played it, so we want to introduce him, and we played teams of two.
Oh, okay,
and with our competitive nature, it took a 20-minute game into almost a 2-hour game.
It was frustrating.
I don't know about 2 hours, but yeah, we were pushing like an hour, hour and a half.
It was
a long.
Well, we played one quickly, mm-hmm. and then, it was supposed to be 2 out of 3. And then what happened was Justine and I were on the team. Jake and Patrick were getting a little too smug because they were down 2-0. So then Justine and I were like, all right, let's see what we can do. And we pushed it to a tie. So and then that last game really took forever. Control is a 2-to-4-player game designed by Maddox Schuler. Boy, Maddox Schuler, if I ever meet you in real life. It was a fun game. It was fine.
It is fun.
But yeah. It just got way too cutthroat, and it went on way too long. Which, I'm not going to lie, led to probably one of my ugliest episodes as a board game host when I unloaded on everybody when we were trying to figure out Yamatai. But it was my fault because I missed one specific rule. I skipped over it when we were trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But it was like a layer cake of pain. And we just got wet. But I liked Control. It was cool.
It's a fun game.
So next time we play it, I think we're going to take the team player mechanic out of it, and it's just going to be everybody for themselves.
Okay.
Because that'll make it a little bit more difficult.
That should make it somewhat quicker.
And quicker, because
that would actually make it more difficult, because instead of two people working together, there's...
Yeah, everybody's out to get you, so it'll never happen. Yeah. It'll be my, like, bang the dice game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta be sneaky.
It should be quicker, because some people might be focused on other people, while you're kind of just like, okay, I can be the quiet one, and stuff like that.
Not when we get competitive. We see everything.
That's crazy. You guys were, like, locked in.
That was painful.
Yeah. It was fun, though, in a horrible, horrible way.
It was fun, but it was just like that game took way too long.
Yeah, we just wanted to get that apology out of the way right at the start.
We're sorry.
You know, and I would. It's a fun, quick game. It's easy to learn. You pick it up right away. You basically have cards that can negate everybody else's cards, so that's really where it got into the... Like, nobody was letting anybody get away with anything.
No. And the second someone played, like, one or two cards, like, nope.
Nope, you're not playing this. Nope.
Yep, that's usually how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was harsh. But it was fun.
That can be rage-inducing, though.
Like, we're not playing it again for a while.
We're going to put that one on the shelf.
Yep.
I remember
never
that
touch it again.
Was another game we did that. It was Secret Hitler, where we kept playing it every week, and we just got tired of playing it.
It's not that we got tired of it. I like playing it when we have a big group. It's harder to play in like a small group of 5 or 6.
Yeah.
That game really shines when you have like 10 people.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful with 10 people.
And I think the best way to play it is in like 2 or 3 rounds at the most. Anything past that is too much.
Yeah. But that's also a game where we've had new people show up to the game group and get it right away.
Yeah.
And there are some intricacies, like once you get into, well, the fastest have this many votes, and that now this happens, and you kind of explain that as you go along, and it's really not hard to pick up. But yeah, that's another great game where everybody gets mad at each other, and you betrayed me.
You also get out of practice. Or I get out of practice when it comes to, like, doing the whole lying and trying to think of strategies and stuff for that one. I need to play like a game or two.
What frightens me is Patrick never loses his edge as far as lying.
You can never be out of practice about telling stories.
Well, you always tell a story.
Yeah.
You
got to be devious. That's what it is. That's how you're successful in that game and in life.
All right. So we have this last week they announced the Spiel des Jahres. Spiel des Jahres is like the Academy Award of board games. So the game of the year for the Spiel des Jahres went to a game called King Domino.
Haven't played it.
We have not played it. Our store doesn't actually carry it. It's a very cute looking game, and it's based on dominoes.
I don't want to play it.
But it's got really cool element to it. But you're actually building an area. You're actually building it so you're laying down tiles. It's like a tile laying game, like dominoes. And the person who makes the biggest, and you have to lay the tiles down they have to match.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically trying to come up with the largest area. You're building like a map and
like Honshu?
But you know, more of like a domino style. But it was designed by our friend Bruno Cathala. It's got a 7.5 on Board Game Geek, 7.5 rating. Bruno Cathala it's published by Blue Orange Games. I have not seen a copy here in the States.
Haven't even heard of it.
It's going for it's $17 on Amazon.
Really?
$17.99, yeah. I've been kind of waiting to see if it will show up at the game store, because I don't want to...
I'm sure it will.
I don't want to not buy it there.
Well, we want to give Shuffle and Cut our money.
Of course we do. In King Domino, you're a lord seeking new lands in which to expand your kingdom. You must explore all the lands, wheat fields, lakes, and mountains in order to spot the best plots. But be careful, as some other lords also covet these lands. Dominoes with a kingdom-building twist. Each turn, connecting new domino to your existing kingdom, making sure at least one of its sides connects to a matching terrain already in play. The game mechanics for obtaining tiles is clever. The order of who picks first depends on which tile was previously chosen. Make sure to secure tiles with crowns. These royal treasures help to multiply worth of your kingdom at the end of the game. The game ends when each player has completed a 5x5 grid, and the points are counted based on the number of connecting tiles and crowns. So there it is. So it sounds fun. Looks like something that's not too complicated that we could probably get in a fight over. But that is your 2017 Spiel des Jahres winner. Let's see who the nominees were.
We played any of them.
Some of them, a lot of stuff, it's stuff that hasn't really hit here yet because they're released in Europe. And... let's see. Spiel des Jahres nominees. Ooh, 2017 award nominees. This is from Dice Tower News. Our friends at the Dice Tower. We're not our friends. We don't know. Magic Maze.
Nope.
El Dorado.
Nope.
Captain Silver.
Nope.
Ice Cool.
Nope.
The Mysterious Forest.
Nope.
Exit. So Exit, those are the games we see that...
Those are the one-time plays.
Those are the one-time games. Those beat out, because there's another... The Spiel des Jahres has, they're, different categories. So I guess in the more complex category, I know some board game people are really going to be mad at me for not knowing this, but there's a different category, I forgot what it was. The category was...
Board Game Nerds.
Well, this is for the... I forgot what it was. Connoisseur Enthusiast Game of the Year. So the Kenner Spiel. It's called the Kenner Spiel des Jahres, which means this is the more complicated game. This is the more complicated. Exit beat out Terraforming Mars, which we've seen played at. That's the game that everybody had for 5 minutes, and then it went out of print.
Yeah.
Now people are trying to get it back. It looks really complicated. One of the hoverers had it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? The hoverers.
Yeah.
He had it, and it looks real meaty. A lot of pieces. Something that we should not play at board game night. In other words,
no.
But that got that everybody was expecting that to be a shoot-in, and Exit, the Pharaoh's Tomb, beat it out. So those are those one-time plays. It's basically an exit room game or an escape room game. Yeah,
those are really popular too because it's just a quick, fun group game that most people can pick up fairly quickly and just toss
and can only play once.
Yeah, you know, blow $15.
The Abandoned Hut, the Secret Laboratory, and the Grave Chamber of the Pharaoh are all the other ones. There's another one called Raiders of the North Sea that I've seen as well, And they do carry it at Shevlin Cut. And that was up for the Kennerspiel as well. But yeah, so the Spiel des Jahres is usually the more family oriented. And Bruno Cathala, our friend Bruno Cathala, let's read some of his games. You're going to recognize some of them. All right, and that's going to lead us into our next topic. Let's look them up real quick. I wish I had this. We don't have a computer in here anymore, so I have to use my phone.
We're not prepared for anything anymore.
No, we are.
Oh, okay.
Bruno Cathala does a lot of work for Days of Wonder. Okay, so Bruno Cathala, Seven Wonders.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Let's see. This is probably one of his most famous. Born in 1963. Here we go. Mr. Jack. Shadows Over Camelot.
Mm-hmm.
Five Tribes.
Good game.
Seven Wonders. Duel. I'm sorry. He did King Domino. And a game called Yamatai.
Ooh.
Yamatai. You know that one.
Yeah.
That's the one that led to the meltdown.
Yeah. Now, that was the headache-filled, I can't understand what we're doing right now.
He did
now.
A game called Abyss. There's a lot. There's more that I'm missing, but he's pretty well-known in board game circles.
He's popular.
We tried Yamatai. I'm willing to give it a second chance. It looked great on the board. Beautiful-looking board. I just screwed up by not reading the...
Directions.
It's, the directions.
It seemed like fun. Yeah, we just weren't playing it right.
We weren't playing it right. It's my fault. I blame myself.
Entirely.
I blame a two-hour game of... Every time we tell the story, it's going to get longer and longer.
It's a fish story. Yeah, Yamatai, it's a cool concept, and I like it. It's just... It was such a late start big game that it's just like...
Mm. I had watched it. It was my fault. I got arrogant. And I said, I've seen this. I saw the video. I can explain it. And I couldn't. That's okay.
Yeah. We'll try again next time.
But one game that I will tell you guys. We'll have a full review on Yamatai, but it looks beautiful when you lay it out. All the boats are beautiful. The colors. There's a lot of colors going on.
It is pretty, yeah. Cards are really nice,
but
too.
Let me tell you guys a game I played. And I want to bring it to Board Game Night. Even though you do not like, Patrick, you do not like... Deck builders.
I love deck builders.
We played a game called Clank, a deck building adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And it is... I'm waiting for the...
Didn't you buy it last week?
Bought it last week.
I remember.
It gets an 8.0 on Board Game Geek. It is designed by Paul Denon, published by Dire Wolf Digital. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Here in the United States, it's Renegade Game Studios. So you have a board game element. And you have a deck building element. So there's a little bit of a variation in the deck building. You have your standard deck building. You have buying.
Mm-hmm.
And you have attacking. You have your attack powers. You have a row or a market of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And on the board games, and then you have three like kind of upgraded cards you can buy. Like you can in usually any deck builder. You know, when you don't have a lot of money, start at the game, you buy these games and you dump your original hand and you get these games and they kind of power you up in some way, give you a little more option to... what I like about this is there's a nice mechanic. There's a Goblin King, because early on you don't have a lot of swords. Swords are how you attack. There's a Goblin King. If you have, like, a sword left over, you can just keep fighting the Goblin King every turn and getting a coin. on the board game side, you have a castle at the top, and that's where everyone starts. Then you have sort of the bottom layers of the castle, and then you have caverns underneath the castle, which is where the dragon's lair is. And the deeper you go, the more the treasures are worth. But you're limited to the amount that you can carry.
Okay.
As far as large, they're called artifacts, and they're worth a lot of points. The biggest one is worth 30 points. Mm-hmm. Of course, what you want to do in this game is have the most money or have the most treasure. The reason it's called Clank is because, let's say we're all explorers, and we're exploring this dungeon. The more we pick up, what's going to happen?
The louder we get.
The louder we get. So everybody has these little cubes in their color, and those are called Clank. So some treasures, when they come up, when you buy them, like sapphires and rubies, they add Clank. So there's a spot on the board where everybody puts their Clank. And then, at the end of every turn, we do a dragon check. And there's a to the dragon is represented by these little black cubes you put in the bag. Geez. We put all of the clank in there, and we start shaking. And depending how angry the dragon is, the meter kind of goes up, just like it does in Pandemic or in... So the angrier the dragon is, the more cubes you're going to pull. And the more cubes you have in there, the more chances you have of getting a hit from the dragon. And we all have a health gauge. So what happens is the first person who gets knocked out basically starts the end of the game, because there are a certain amount of rounds that that person will be out, but they will control what's going to happen next as far as how you – when the dragon's going to attack and so on and so forth. So it's really fun because there's this whole element of you're trying to sneak around and be sneaky. And there are cards that take Clank out. You can add Clank to other players. You can – and it just depends on the cards that come up. And there are certain cards when they flip. So if Patrick buys a card, we have to replace that card in the market. You don't wait till the end of the round. You do it right away. Some of those will have stuff that takes effects right away. Mm-hmm. A dragon might attack. Everybody might get clanked. There's all these things that happen.
It's cool.
And there's a lot of really cool companions you can have. You can, you know, beef up your hand. There, again, there are ways to remove clank, give yourself health. But, there's a market in the dead center of the caverns. And then there's ways you can only move certain ways. You can only go a certain way on the board. If you travel, you might take a hit. If you don't have any... if you don't have any swords to defend yourself, you'll take a hit going through certain tunnels. So there's a lot going on, but it's really easy to play and really fun. My wife and I played. We had a blast. And it was one of those games that the day after I kept thinking about, like, oh, this is a really fun, great game.
How many people does it play?
Plays up to four.
Okay.
Cool. Plays up to four. And it's not a long game because it's a deck build, and you only have so many. You only have 10 hits. Everybody has 10 hits. You will take hits right away. And it really depends on how well you manage your hand to get that, to build your deck, to get it to where you need to. John Sandy's here for the next round. John Sandy's here for the next. But try, it's called Clank, and I want you all to play it.
Very cool.
What do you got for us, Jake?
I have another deck builder also.
What did you play?
It's been out for a while. Ascension.
Yes. I'm a fan.
I just recently got the Year 3 collection box. And then the Year 2 collection box.
John. Yeah. Sorry about that. Tell us about your collection boxes.
They're actually really, really nice. They give you all of the sets that came out in that given, or like for Year 3 and the third year it was out, they give you all the sets that came out. Plus any promo cards, and then they give you like a really fancy board that you can do with it. It's all inlaid, really like.
Ascension is really cool because it's basically, it took the idea of from Dominion, mm-hmm. the deck builder, and then added a direct combat element to it. So it's not quite like Magic the Gathering where you need to have, where you're constantly buying cards, but they do release different cards for it. Mm-hmm. They release different expansions for it.
Different expansions with different mechanics, and you can actually use any mechanic, or you can use any set on its own, or you can mesh them together with any other cards.
But I like Ascension because you don't have to keep buying. You can play a great game right out of the box, mm-hmm. and you don't need to keep buying a card every month or new cards every month.
No, it's a one-time buy, and then, yeah, you're set for as long as you want to play it. But it's really, really fun. It gets a little chaotic with more than two players, mm-hmm. just because there's only six cards that come out at any given time.
Yes.
And there, you'll see a card that comes out right away, and you're, oh, I really need that card. And if you're playing a four-player game, and it just passed your turn, and that drops,
you're probably not going to get it.
So it keeps like your strategy. You have to kind of keep it very loose and dynamic, because if you're set on one particular strategy, it's probably not going to happen.
The one thing I liked about Clank is a lot of replayability. There's 100 deck card. It's a 100 card deck, mm-hmm. that you're playing. A lot of deck builders don't give you that much variety in one deck. So I don't know how many of each card there are, mm-hmm. but I know that in the game that we played, there were a lot of cards coming up and a lot of different types. So you could kind of do that. You could kind of change your strategy on the fly if mm-hmm. you needed to. I like that.
Yeah, I like the dynamic aspect of it, because there's a lot of card games like, you know, Magic the Gathering or Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh, where it's like you have your deck and you have your set strategy to do it, mm-hmm. and then it just becomes more of knowing different cards and, you know, what decks are you good against, what decks are that. This is more of, okay, what can I do with the cards that are out at that given time?
Ascension is my nephew Joseph brought it to us. I already knew how to play Star Realms, so I had a I just had to learn different.
Literally the same thing.
Yeah, I just had to learn the different, you know, what the cards, the powers and all that stuff. But it's fun. Mm-hmm. And if you like deck builders, Ascension's a good way to go.
Yeah.
If you want to graduate from that Dominion element and go to Ascension. And there's the theme is kind of like it's like a basic
it's like a generic fantasy theme. Right, yeah. It has a little bit of steampunk cuz they have creatures called constructs, or they have different types of factions, like I think Void, Mechana, Lifebound, stuff like that. But yeah, it's over just a generic fantasy theme, and then there's like a little steampunk involved in it.
Love it. What else you got, Patrick?
It's a game I've played before personally, but two of our members, Justine and Jake, played for the first time last week, Trabago.
Oh, yes. We've discussed this. It's one of my favorite games.
It's a great Tobago. Game.
Tobago. You played it, Jake?
Which one was that?
The treasure hunting game.
The G-Play.
It's actually out of print.
That one, yeah, that was great. Yeah.
I love that game, and I've been trying to get it. It's made appearances at our board game nights, but it was the first time I got to play with you guys, and I was really excited because I knew you would like it. And I love it because it's I liked it, again, replayability. Your basic thing is everybody has a map, and it's hard to explain, but it's a treasure hunting game, but you decide where the treasure is going to be, sort of. Everybody has a hand in deciding where that treasure is going to be, because you're adding cards, and the cards will say the treasure is next to a palm tree, or the treasure is on the biggest beach, or the treasure is not next to a river. And so you're kind of narrowing down, and everybody's trying to kind of manipulate where the treasure is going to be so they can be close by and pick it up. And then everybody who adds to that particular treasure map gets a shot at getting a part of the treasure once it's dug up. The person who digs up the treasure gets an extra shot. There are curses in there. And then there's this whole thing where, like, there's these cool... The pieces are great.
Yeah, it's a nice deck.
There's these really cool, Easter Island statues. They drop amulets every time a treasure... You got little jeeps. You got little plastic palm trees. And the map is always different. It's three different... kind of triangles that come together, and it's kind of like a Triforce board, and you can flip them in all sorts of configurations. So the island is you're never exploring the same island. I think it is out of print, but if you can find it, I ordered it from Germany, from the Germans, and it is created by who was it by? I'm really glad you guys liked it.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's Bruce Allen and the company. There's a bunch. It's published all over, but try to find it. If you can get your hand on Amazon, it's going for $109.
Oh my God.
I got it for $50 on, I found it on eBay. And so there are some eBay listings right now for about $50. But it's a really fun game. We're a good treasure hunting game. Mm-hmm. Easy. Like, what you just have to explain. Once you learn what all the symbology, it's really easy to pick up and learn. And who doesn't like a treasure hunting game? And there's the idea that, oh my God, I'm going to be right next to it. I'm right there. And then somebody else puts a thing that says, nope, now it's on the other side of the island. It's really fun.
And you can still win without collecting the treasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was nice.
You can just add to, you can just, you know, getting to the treasure is nice because it gives you, you get one more. It's a chance to make a little more money. But I got cursed. I got hosed on one. I lost some money. But who ended up winning? Was it you?
Yeah, I won.
No wonder you wanted
it. It was just because I didn't go for any treasure. I just mapped out everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I did. My whole strategy was just to put a card on each thing at least once or twice to get as much as I possibly could.
It's fun. I love it. And it's not hard. It's quick. It's a quick game.
Yes. Super quick, easy.
The only thing that runs into some trouble is you can't put down a card that negates something else. So once you start having like five or six cards in for each treasure, you have to start really examining what does what. So that's about it. But that's it for the day. We're gonna cut it short. It was a really quick show. Hopefully next week we'll have some more stuff for you. We didn't do a topic this week. I couldn't think of a good one. Because I forgot we were doing. For some reason in the back of my head, I thought we were doing this next week. But okay. We pulled out a great show out of our butts. We just review those board games, Renee.
Yeah.
What's been your favorite game at board game night so far?
Oh man, I like the Gnome one that we play.
Gnome Street. Mario hasn't played it yet. He's kind of still upset.
I don't like that game. I don't like the look. Gnomes, they frighten me. I'm not gonna lie. I have a fear of gnomes.
Gnome Street's fun. That's
right, I'm gonna have to try it out.
I kind of have. Oh, and Perlock Holmes.
There you go.
I like Perlock Holmes.
That's a good one too. Mm-hmm. Renee, you're a good egg.
We like you.
Thanks for running the boards today. How are we doing on time?
It's 24 minutes.
Perfect. Little mini episode.
Short, sweet, and to the point.
That's it. We don't need this 4 hour. We save those for the superiority complex.
That's right. We like to ramble.
Little bite size episode.
No bite size. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So on your lunch break, just
as soon as, if anyone wants to send us a copy of King Domino.
Yes, we'll absolutely play it.
Oh, let me tell you what's going on right now on one of the board game groups. Raxon, which is the company in
Raxon, Raxoff?
Very good. It's the company in... I'm going to let you have that one. It's the company in Dead of Winter.
Uh-huh.
There's a prequel game coming out just called Raxon, and the only way you can get it is if somebody sends you an invite.
Oh, my God.
So somebody has to send you an invite, and then you pay $40 and you get 3 invites.
Jesus.
So if anyone has an invite, send it out to your friends at the boarding party, because I want to get a hold of this thing. It looks pretty cool.
I think we might know someone who have an invite for that.
Maybe.
Really?
We'll have to talk to him
Renee.
Today.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So, for Jake, for Patrick, for Renee, our new friend, for John, the silent partner, John Sandy, who's never played a board game, not since Candyland, not since Hi-Ho Cheerio.
Since Clue.
Shoots and Ladders.
We say, may the dice be with you.
Is that really what we decided on? I never remember.
It seems like it changes every time I come in.
John, you're not on this podcast. We'll see you next time.
It changes every time I come in.